Hi, everybody. Welcome to No Story is Sacred. We're four siblings who were raised by working freelance authors. And when you have a big family with two parents who are full-time writers, the craft of writing basically becomes a family business. We grew up talking about the art of storytelling. Now that we're adults, we're still talking about it, and we're inviting you to join the conversation. I'm Pippin, and this may be all sound and fury signifying nothing.
I'm Kat. I'm not one of the three witches, but I could play one on TV.
I'm Alex, and none of whom when born can slay me.
This is Brendan, the Thane of Pittsburgh.
Today, we're talking about Shakespeare's The Tragedy of Macbeth, so spoilers abound. If you want specific content warnings, check out the show notes on nostoryissacred.com. For those of you who either haven't seen or read the play, or need reminding what it's about, Wikipedia's summary is: a brave Scottish general named Macbeth receives a prophecy from a trio of witches that one day he will become King of Scotland. Consumed by ambition and spurred to action by his wife, Macbeth murders King Duncan and takes the Scottish throne for himself. He is then racked with guilt and in paranoia, forced to commit more and more murders to protect himself from enmity. I know, right? Forced.
Like, whoops, just have to do it.
Yeah. What's this floating dagger?
Ooh. What is this dagger I see before me? Better kill some people with it. Sorry, go on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Team killing fuck?
That child was coming right at me.
Forced, I said. To commit more and more murders to protect himself from enmity and suspicion, he soon becomes a tyrannical ruler. The bloodbath and consequent civil war swiftly take Macbeth and Lady Macbeth into the realms of madness and death.
Womp womp.
So a good time for all.
Womp womp,
I think, sums up the Macbeth storyline. Good night.
Yeah. Good night, everybody.
This has been No Story Sacred. This has been No Story Sacred.
Woohoo! Oh, golly. So, you guys.
So, yeah. Macbeth.
Can we just take a moment to briefly discuss Shakespeare?
Well, sure. He was the Seth MacFarlane of his time, so
He was the Michael Bay of his time. Explosions, robots, dick jokes, Megan Fox. It was all in there.
If you think it was a dick joke, it was a dick joke.
And in fact, it was two dick jokes. You missed the other one.
True facts.
And one, another one was a vagina joke.
Yes, that's true.
True facts.
That was actually the third joke. And it was a three-way. Womp, womp, womp. Yeah, so Shakespeare... I don't know about anybody else, but I know a little bit of the history of this particular play, and I do think it's relevant.
I have no idea about the history.
Was right. King James of Scotland involved?
King James of Scotland was involved. This is one of Shakespeare's later plays, if not the last play. I'm not really certain about that one. He's so on top of things that he, according to a lot of scholarship, let other people, you know, practice on his play.
Like script doctoring?
Not like, they're like, well, here's all the main bits, but you can write this scene. Like that.
Go for it.
Yeah, like, there you go. Little baby playwrights. And you can kind of see it in a lot of the scenes where there's, instead of sonnets, there's rhyming couplets. And did you guys miss the song and dance number?
Was that with the witches?
Yes! At the top of Act 4.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Hecate. The double-double toil and trouble thing.
I'm sorry, it should be Hecate.
Double-double.
That's if Michael Bay directed Macbeth.
Very nice.
Which, oh, God.
But Hecate shows up, and she's like, and now let the fairies dance! And then there's, like, music, and it's literally in the notes, music and dancing. And this was because there was supposed to be a, because it's stupid, but because this is supposed to be a celebration of King James the First of Scotland. And if you go, you know, into the prophecies that the witches give, you know, the technically King James shows up as a future apparition of the sons of Banquo. So, yeah, that's where we are with Macbeth. It's relatively simple. It's straightforward. It does have some of the best prose ever because it's Shakespeare. But also there's this additional component.
If anyone's curious, Macbeth was published, first published in the folio of 1623.
Woohoo! That's late. Is it his last play, or?
I thought Tempest was.
Yeah. I feel Tempest like sounds like it's too good for to be later.
Well,
oh, here we go. All right, chronology of Shakespeare plays.
What? That's what I was trying to find in my big old Shakespeare tomb here, but...
Whereas I just went to the easy source, which was...
Fuck bum, you!
Ba-bum, Wikipedia. Because, you know, that's accurate. So we had his first play being The Two Gentlemen of Verona, and it read like it.
So keep publishing, kids.
Well, Macbeth is a comedy, right?
Oh, totally.
I was reading Macbeth, and I thought it was a laugh a minute. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the humorous misspelling of McDonald, come on.
McDonald.
McDonald.
Oh, well, man. It's not really outright stated, but Macbeth does kill the King Duncan with a banana. It's quite silly, but that was in the original cut of the script.
It's why I was asking if it was a dagger. You know, yeah, is this a dagger I see
dagger
before me?
Dagger I see before me?
No, tis a banana. Tis a banana.
Okay, let's work with this.
It was actually one of the first spellings of banana in the English language, and it did include 12 nas, and ended with Batman. We're not really sure why.
Anyway, what was the point we were trying to make just here?
I don't know, man.
Oh. Yeah, we're trying to find the date of
well, just the fact that it's one of his later plays, I think, was the point there.
Yeah.
But I guess let's steer this back to just Macbeth. What would you say, like I'm just trying to just wrap my head around just, you know, the theme, I guess. Is it like the inevitability of faith or not faith, fate? Is it just ambition or blind ambition's really bad? Was Macbeth just set up and is kind of just being toyed with?
I think the theme is don't stab people in your house.
Someone else's house.
Actually, to be fair, that's or in your own. Come on. Because that is Macbeth's house that he stabbed people in.
Look how well that turned out.
To be completely fair, Scottish hospitality laws are pretty firm on that point. Don't kill people when you give them food and board. So, yes.
I think it's like across the board, isn't it?
Probably.
In general, in folklore, it's just...
It's not cool.
Don't kill your guests. Not cool.
Not cool.
But he was king of Scotland, so, you know, win-win. So
for like a month, right?
You win some, you lose some.
I thought it was for a couple of years. I thought that
was...
Was
it?
Yeah, I don't know. It's playtime.
Okay, no, I have issues about the chronology of the play itself.
Uh-oh. Are you sure it doesn't mean the resurrection, Pip? Go on.
God. So this one time, right, I'm a sweet little English major in college, and I'm taking Shakespeare.
Like you do.
Like you do. It's full of English majors and also students just trying to get their English credit. And we are assigned Macbeth, and our professor tells us to, you know, keep note of how many days there are in Macbeth.
Uh-huh.
And me and my, you know, study group, we, you know, take this to heart. And we, you know, read the play aloud with each other as we did with all the plays. Because if you're going to do Shakespeare, it's really best to do it out loud with a group.
Nerd.
Well, that way, at any given point, one of you probably knows what's going on. And can explain it to the rest.
And at any point, one of you will do a silly voice.
Yes. And, yeah, we dutifully noted down when there were day changes. And I forget how many we decided, but we figured that there was at least a couple weeks of shown days. You know, with scene changes and all of that. But we figured those, you know, few weeks were actually spread across a few years. Because it takes a while to build up a tyranny. And, you know, a while for armies to travel back and forth, even a small country, like
on
England.
Foot.
On foot. You know. So, we're like...
One went to England, one went to Ireland.
They all came back again.
One was
again.
A merman.
Messengers back and forth before any armies moved. But we figured, you know, a few weeks actually shown. Then, my professor, the person who was supposed to educate me, says that, no, there are 3 days in Macbeth.
No. You sound so betrayed.
Well, we were sitting in the back going, no. We counted.
You fool.
We went through this scene by scene. These are the days. And he went, no. It's emblematic of the passion of Christ.
Oh.
But no, they were fucking Anglican.
And we were like, what? And he was like, how many of you know what the harrowing of hell is? And I, dutifully, raised my hand. And he was like, how do you know that? And I was like, it's dinner conversation. Come at me. Doesn't everybody? But since I was the only one who raised my hand, no, not everyone does. And so I explained what it is. And he was all, oh, yes, that's the scene with the porter.
Wait, okay. If you're going to bring up the harrowing of hell, you actually have to explain what it is.
So the harrowing of hell is that time. Yeah, when Christ died. Whoops. So he died on a Friday. He came back on a Sunday. There's that Saturday unaccounted for.
One wild day.
What? Well, it was kind of wild. From his point of view. From our point of view, he was just sort of,
rotting.
Lying. I was going to say lying down.
They were having a Weekend at Bernie's situation there.
That's a movie I'd watch.
He's just being... I'm sorry, I just watched Rick and Morty, so I'm imagining him being maneuvered by cats.
Yeah.
Oh.
So he goes down to hell, like you do. Mm-hmm. And either he knocks on or he sort of shouts at the gates of hell. Satan, bro. Probably not bro, but whatever. I have come to let all the virtuous people out of hell. It's a whole big thing. Which takes up his whole Saturday.
Just all of Saturday. It went on forever. Then we had to go get Starbucks.
And then Sunday he comes back. And so my professor tries to tell me that the murder of Duncan is the death of Christ.
What?
Yeah. The porter knocking, or no, Macduff, I guess, was knocking on the door. Porter went to answer it. And that was the harrowing of hell, that knock there. And I was like, there's more to it than that. If you're going to pull this. Also, that's actually one of the Apocrypha. So if Shakespeare was going to pull some secret Catholic shit,
it wouldn't be the Apocrypha.
Like the harrowing of hell. Super cool. I'm down for it. Not exactly the most popular part.
Was Shakespeare actually the Dan Brown of his time?
Dan Brown Shakespeare.
Oh, man.
I'm trying to think of a Codex joke and I can't.
Let's not insult Shakespeare like that. I'll throw some shade on the dude, but...
Plus, Dan Brown is a total hack. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Oh, guys.
Let's write only to a fifth grade level and then...
I'm sorry, do you have some feelings about Dan Brown that we should address in a future podcast?
Look, once for a computer science class, I had to read Digital Fucking Fortress, so...
For computer science?
Yeah.
That's sad. I'm so sorry.
Wow.
So this whole Macbeth thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pip, I'm sorry you had to go through that. That's stupid. Particularly since the porter is there because Shakespeare put clowns into all of his fucking tragedies. Because he knew that you gotta have some funny to go with along with the depressing.
Because the dog might not always be able to make it.
Exactly. Although it's funny you say dog, let's put a bookmark in that because it's gonna be relevant to my reworking of Macbeth.
What?
Oh my gosh.
You're actually prepared? What?
Yeah, I am. As of 5 minutes before having to pick up Alex from the train station, I am... Whew, man, you have no idea how much time I spent on Wikipedia.
I spent no time on Wikipedia. I'm just winging it today.
Nice. Well, so you're talking about themes, though.
Yeah.
I think that the glory of Shakespeare is that, all of the ones you mentioned are valid interpretations. Not the one Pip mentioned. Pip's...
Yeah, fuck that one.
That one's terrible. But stuff about, the cost of ambition, listening to Black and Midnight Hags. Probably not a good idea.
Don't listen to witches in a swamp. I think that's a big theme.
Yeah.
Don't fuck around with prophecies in general.
No, don't. Like, if it's a prophecy, it's going to happen. Don't force the issue.
Yeah. Reading the room here, what would you have done if, you know, say some magical people, witches, wizards, who knows, comes up to you and kind of gives you this similar prophecy that Macbeth got? I'm kind of the mind to be like, you know what, let's just let it ride. I'm not going to force the issue because, frankly, life just gets weird if I try and do shady shit.
Yeah.
Forcing the issue sounds like so much work.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, also, and I hate to say, if you take it into account Banquo's situations, like, well, oh, great, you get to be king now, but not any of your, you know, king hereafter. Well, then what's the point? This might be a very American point of view. Like, royalty? Fuck it.
Yeah. I'd wait for it because Duncan is, you know, old, and his son is kind of a tit, so, you know, it will work itself out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they could have had, like, a king's moot or something if Macbeth had just been patient.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing. But the question then becomes, what are the witches actually as instruments in Macbeth's life? It reminds me a lot of, like, the Hamlet question, you know, is Hamlet's dead dad a ghost or a demon? If he's a ghost, then yes, obviously Hamlet should kill his uncle. If it's a demon, obviously Hamlet should not.
wait, that's... I know we're talking about Beth, but obviously the answer is murder.
Obviously. Come on. Anyway.
Well, like, look, a shiny change of subject.
But in this case, what are the witches supposed to be? Are they giving honest prophecy? Are they saying what Macbeth kind of wants them to say? Are they actually saying what Macbeth wants them to say? Or is he just picking, like, a handy interpretation to match his secret designs?
Well, if it was a secret designs, so I don't think he would have been so, conflicted about it early on in the story.
And at that point, he wasn't even Thane of Cawdor yet, so...
I think part of it is temptation.
Well, the Thane of Cawdor line was just... hooking him in, you know, it's like, hey, you're Thane of Cawdor, and you're about to get verification of that, therefore, we are magic.
We actually heard them talking about it about 20 minutes ago. About 5 minutes back in scene one, I don't know if you knew.
they follow Duncan on Twitter.
Oh.
Yeah, my boy at Macbeth, he's going to be my Thane of Cawdor.
Whoop-whoop. Moving gif of, like, a crown moving around.
Oh. No, the moving gif is of the dagger moving around.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, it's a con man's game. It's, you know, you let the fish on the hook win the first couple of rounds, and then you say, should we play for real money?
See, that's my kind of interpretation on it and why I don't think I'd act on that prophecy, because you know what? I think those witches are just starting shit.
Mm.
Yeah, we don't know their...
What do they get out of it?
Yeah.
Well, they get out of it being Black and Midnight Hags. That's just sort of their deal. If there was room for improvement in some of the greatest literature in the English language, I have some ideas. Oh, man.
Well, it's not like Banquo heard his prophecy and like, okay, give me some Red Bull and Viagra. I'm going to get as many kings as possible.
That's a very good milk.
Yeah.
That's also a different interpretation of the play. I'm sorry. Can you imagine? Oh, my God. Guys. Like, that's the Seth MacFarlane version.
Banquo Bang Scotland.
Yes!
Oh, no!
I'd watch it.
It's what he wrote after Macbeth to kind of decompress.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, the witches said, I gotta get to it, and you've seen my son. He's not real king material. Let's,
Banquo's son, played by Michael Cera.
Oh, God. Oh, yes. Man. So Jason Bateman is Banquo?
Oh. Yes. Oh, my God. So this is writing itself, guys.
Yeah. I think this is the best version. I think I'm out.
And we're done. Good night, everybody.
Arrested Macbeth.
Oh, my gosh. guys.
Listen, there should clearly be versions of Shakespeare's tragedies in which they are comedies. But not, like, too slapsticky, just played for comedy.
Well, put a bookmark on that for my, mine and with suggestion from my girlfriend as well.
Nice. Shout out.
What?
It's one of those things that, you know, got mentioned and then it's like, you know what? That's a better idea than anything I could come up with because, like, I was, like, of the mindset of, like, oh, let's do a modern adaptation and roll with it. And I was kind of in boring town for a little while when I was just filling with it earlier, so, yeah.
Well, that's the problem with doing anything with Shakespeare is that it's so endemic to our sort of culture. Literary palette. But it's so ingrained in at least Western literature and so on that, yeah, anytime you do something that uses elements from one of the Shakespeare plots, you do run into the possibility of being boring. Like, I'm going to set it in a high school.
Well, on that same token, I also kind of find it a little weird when adaptations of Shakespeare, like I tried watching that Amazon one, and I always find it weird when they're trying to go for like the realistic portrayal of the Macbeth story, and then they start going into the line for line dialogue from the play, and it's like
the Fassbinder version,
get it?
Right?
Yeah.
I watched it, and I was like, yo, I really wish you were just doing a version of Macbeth without the lines from Shakespeare. Like, keep the same plot, but
yeah, baby, make it gritty, make it real. If you're gonna go that route with the film, I mean, you're filming it. I mean, it's not a stage play.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it only works as a stage play.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, counter to that, let's do a big shout out to Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet, a modern interpretation that used all the original language. I mean, that was badass.
Yeah, true, but I feel like it went camp enough that it seemed to fit.
That worked. Yeah. No, I hear you.
Let's actually get into rewrites now.
All right, so I've gone first before. Brendan, I think you've gone first before. Let's force one of the younger ones to it. Let's make Pip. You do it.
Okay, I don't have really much. You know, I don't have, like, here's what I would do scene by scene. I just have a general idea for y'all.
Yeah, well, we'll workshop it. Yeah. That's kind of what I'm going to do with mine, so let's go for it.
Mine's perfect, so, you know, just keep that in mind.
To be fair, you haven't heard what I'm about to say yet.
Okay.
Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Y'all ready for this?
Mid-podcast dance party, very important. But
musical interlude. Second nerve fairies come out and dance.
But no. No, I am here to say to you guys, time travel.
Uh-oh.
Do it.
Okay. I'm intrigued.
That's all you're going to say at the end.
Mm-hmm. Well, although that is like an entire podcast's worth of content there, just time travel in general, but go on.
Because I'm not sure if you are aware, but one of the themes in Macbeth is the notion of time. Okay. And how it all sort of becomes one thing. Macbeth has become unstuck in time.
Oh, nice.
Fuck you, I'm proud of myself. But
Hey, all five of our hipster listeners look at the Vonnegut reference.
And at some point I admit I've never read Vonnegut and everyone disowns me. I know!
What?
I know, I'm a failure.
A later episode.
Wait, go on.
Yes. Unstuck in time.
You know, all hail Macbeth, hail to thee, Thane of Glamis, which is his, past. His
turning title.
What?
Or his current, I thought.
Yeah, it's his current title, but what he's always has been, it's his past.
Yeah, okay.
All hail Macbeth, hail to thee, Thane of Cawdor, is his present that he doesn't yet know about, but he is Thane of Cawdor. Cause King Duncan said he is. Mm-hmm. He's only just now learning about it. And all hail Macbeth, thou shalt be king hereafter. That's his future, all in one quick go. Past, present, and future. And then there's all sorts. Like, tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow is when when Lady Macbeth dies, and then suddenly, holy shit, that future is coming fast. when it wasn't before.
So how does Macbeth get unstuck in time in the first place?
The witches say, "Hey, here's what's up," and he goes for it.
Like if he makes a choice to travel or whatever. So what I'm getting at is this a condition or something that's forced on him, or is it a choice he makes?
He killed a dude. There was a choice.
Okay, is this literal time travel, or is this you talking about a theme?
Well, I'm bringing in the theme to say that there should be a version of literal time travel, because there is precedent in the play that this is something that Shakespeare was thinking about.
So he was thinking about time, so you want to turn, you want to pull that to the forefront and start going, okay, let's make this time travel.
Let every man be master of his time.
wait, I just had like this amazing mental image. Like, imagine if we already had the image of the future kings, the Banquo's children.
Yeah.
What if you had a similar image pop up at the beginning? So Macbeth and Banquo enter the scene where the witches are. They're singular form, right?
Mm-hmm.
As the witches address Macbeth, every time they introduce him with a new, what's it called?
Title.
Another Macbeth appears behind him. On stage.
Well, that's
Are we doing a play? Are we doing a novel? What are we doing here?
That just sounds like something you could do in your own personal production.
Yes, but check it out. Then do something different. you could turn the story then. It wouldn't work so well as a play. I think it's more like a movie, like the way Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead, the way that really tracked.
Yeah.
You could do some wild stuff with that. And then you start following, the three different Macbeths.
I'm thinking literal time travel, because that way when Burnham Wood comes to Dunsinane, it's because you've traveled so far forward in time that Burnham Wood has spread.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how it would work. Didn't think that far. But I got that mental image.
So you're just like, fuck it, let's go.
Yeah, no, I am all in for time-traveling Macbeth.
Time-traveling Scotsman.
I think an interesting thing that you could play with in there is what happens if your current self, your current you, discovers that future you is gonna kill a dude.
Oh. Yeah, that's some...
That'd be a mind freak.
Well, and also it gets into the classic problems of time travel. I mean, there's the three main kinds of time travel. There's Bill and Ted time travel, there's Back to the Future time travel, and there's Terminator time travel.
There's also like traveling into like an alternate timeline completely, like a parallel universe thing.
Wait a sec. That is
Timeline. Michael Crichton.
Oh, you're right. My bad. So that's four.
There's lots of methods.
Doctor Who is a special cupcake, and we're not going to discuss him.
No story is sacred. No story is easily explained.
But yeah, no, I like that idea. That idea of... And then it sort of doubles down on the witch's prophecy thing. Like, if you know that this is who you are in the future, is that a future that you can change? Is it a future you want to change? Well, if the guy's wandering around gibbering about knives and blood and stuff like that, yeah, maybe you don't want to be that dude. But...
But maybe the stress causes you to become that anyway, and it's the inevitability of insanity or who knows.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I like that idea.
Yeah, basically, I just thought it'd be fun to have literal time travel.
All right, rock on.
And maybe turn everyone into women, because women are better.
And that way...
Wow.
And that way, you can have your harrowing of hell.
Aww.
Yeah, let's have the harrowing of hell in there, just to actually make
actually
it...
have it.
Yeah. I will forever be bitter about it.
And if you're listening, sir, this one's for
you. I'm
sorry. Don't listen to her. She's been bitching about it for years.
I loved your classes.
You're wrong, but we love you.
Pretty much.
Aww.
All right. So, Pip, you got time travel.
Yep.
Cool.
That's all I have. I am now free to talk shit about the rest of y'all.
No.
All right, Al. I'm throwing you under the bus.
Okay. Well, here's my thing. Okay, so I didn't actually come up with a whole entire rewrite or modernization.
Fuck yeah!
Or really that kind of thing. I just thought, what could I kind of edit here?
Like small tweaks, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Like if you were Shakespeare today, how would you have done it?
Mainly my kind of deal, so I don't know if you know it's true for everybody, but how many of you guys kind of zoned out a lot during the soliloquies?
What? Okay, that's you. Go on.
Well, I can understand that.
Well, there were a lot of them. Like, a lot.
Hamlet. Oh, sorry. Wow, shit. Macbeth, what the fuck? You're soliloquizing again. Come on.
At best, you, like, what are the ones you remember? I will name you four, and then you try to give me the rest.
Okay.
There's, is this a dagger I see before me?
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, tomorrow, and tomorrow. Spirits unsex me. And
yeah.
out, damn spot.
Okay, out, damn spot is actually in the middle of, I believe, the nurse's tale as she's saying what Lady Macbeth does. So that's not a soliloquy.
Fair enough.
Thank you.
So kind of helping his point.
Shut up.
So three now.
So we're down to three.
Oh, no. No, no, the nurse takes that. Or the nun, or whatever the hell it is.
The nun takes the pass, and she's going for the end zone.
Well, there's the bit at the start where Macbeth is actually thinking over what the fuck the witches have said to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I believe Banquo has something. No, I know that Macduff does. Macduff has a holy shit, my children are dead.
Yeah, but he's talking to people.
Even if he's talking to people, if he's the one talking solidly for a while, that's sort of...
Fair enough, yeah.
That counts.
And Macduff does enough asides and for long enough that he counts as a soliloquy all on their own.
Well, here's the thing. Macbeth is going crazy and talking to himself.
Yes.
Which I love.
They say you're going crazy.
But here's the thing. When you have enough of those, they start to get kind of dull.
All right. So what would you suggest? I disagree violently with you, but what would you suggest?
Well, there are some instances where you're like, should I do this? I don't? And then he repeats that to Lady Macbeth.
Well, because he's sort of leaning towards the, no, I shouldn't be. And Lady Macbeth is all like, here, I've got you a knife.
For you.
Wait, I thought we were all bored with this, honey. Come on. I got you this knife. It's gift wrap.
If you love me, you'll murder a dude.
Well, I hear that all the time, you know.
Yeah.
It's just part of being in a relationship, really.
You know, this so is probably true. Just me being an impatient reader or listener or viewer.
It's a valid point. I mean, if you're trying to adapt something maybe for modern audiences, being able to have like snappier things is important. I mean, rather than having necessarily a lot of, you know, one character agonizing by themselves, if they're, you know, discussing it with another character, agonizing together, maybe that could add some tension, add some drama. Maybe Macbeth and Lady Macbeth could be just having just a loud argument about the subject of killing Duncan.
Then suddenly there's soldiers like, what are they yelling about? Killing Duncan? That's weird.
I was going to say, it does seem like Macbeth kills Duncan, and then there's a lot of talking.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Banquo gets killed, and that's a lot of the excitement.
There's a child gets murdered, and then there's talking.
Okay, but I think the child getting murdered is Banquo, I'm sorry, is Macduff, like, freaking out about the fact that everybody got killed. I don't know.
What the fuck?
Does Macduff's family get killed on screen, so to speak? Or is that sort of...
Yes and no.
The son does.
Yeah.
The wife dies off screen.
Yeah.
But the son on screen.
Because there's a whole massacre. And we see
the
one death.
Son says something like, Mother, I am stabbed, or something like that.
Mother, I am slain. Blur. Oh, mother.
Okay, let's rewind a little bit. It sounds to me like this is a stylistic thing. Stylistically, this was something that Shakespeare was doing. Just doesn't resonate with you. To be fair, it's boring as shit when people in books, Orson Scott Card, start having like full on, now we're going to discuss the full hegemonic something of the things, whatever, 15 pages talking about Ayn Rand. That gets old.
Yeah.
Let's have an entire chapter dedicated to my philosophy. Haha.
I will say that compared to other playwrights of the time, Shakespeare was the snappy version.
Oh, yeah.
And now we have situations where, you know, you have, you know, Tales of Romeo and Juliet, where it's like, you can do it as an after-school special.
Hey, kids. Did your new bride suddenly die? Well, have this poison. Yay.
A suicide pack is never the answer.
Suicide packs are no good. Oh, anyway, go on.
Hey, Jimmy, have you had a suicide pack recently? Gee, Marcy, I did just get this letter.
Say no to drugs and also potions to...
Say no to apothecaries.
You took a roofie from a priest.
Are priests leading you astray?
Thumb biters in your neighborhood. Modern adaptations. Well, that's the thing. I think if Shakespeare was in the modern day, I think he would be kind of making it for, I wouldn't say shorter attention span people, but you know what I mean? Like, you know, make it short to the point, make it maybe more conversation driven, because I think that's, especially like with modern TV and cinema and all that, there's a lot more, you know, shot, reverse shot is the language of the modern era, as opposed to you have a play and it's the actor and the audience are the sender and receiver. Nowadays with film and TV and all that, the audience is almost like a completely passive component. It's not like the actor is really able to talk directly to the audience anymore.
I was just gonna say, modern Shakespeare would not win an Academy Award, but would win People's Choice.
Oh, yeah. Very nice. Yeah.
No, he'd be Seth MacFarlane and Michael Bay combined.
Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, you have cannons going off stage, and then somebody's getting drunk in the corner.
You totally would have written The Hangover.
Seth MacBay.
Oh.
Whoa.
Oh, man.
No. I think that what ends up happening with a lot of modern translations of Shakespeare in general, it gets cut down a lot.
Yeah.
Then sometimes stuff gets cut, and then you want to kill everyone and set fire to stuff, like Fortinbras.
Yeah. Always gets left out.
He always gets left out, and that's an important component of Hamlet. And anyway.
Yeah. Because you need him to be this pressure on Denmark.
Exactly.
Or why he put Claudius into power.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have the both the inside and the outside just, like, freaking the fuck out.
He comes in at the end, goes, what the shit? And lets you all, lets you know that, no, none of this was normal.
None of this was appropriate. Like, what the hell?
Wait a second. Think about that. Like, Malcolm eventually comes back and, you know, becomes King of Scotland again. The son who fucked off to Ireland, what did he end up doing? Nothing?
All the sons, frankly, just did fuck all. I think that he was just stuck with those because historically they existed.
Mm.
That's some shit that I would cut out. Like, we don't need them.
Fair enough.
I was going to say, Al, did you have more to add?
No, I only had soliloquies.
Just fuck off soliloquies.
So, summarizing, Al hates soliloquies.
Like, you know, they do end up blurring together.
Oh, that's fair. It's a fair criticism, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get it.
And no matter how well they got blocked or acted, in all the versions I've seen, I've, you know, ended up going, oh, wait, where are we now?
Hmm.
The dagger soliloquy is one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
Just in general.
Yeah.
Well, that's Macbeth going cray-cray.
That's Macbeth going on the path of no return.
I guess moving right along, should I get going here on my approach?
Do it.
Do the thing.
Do it.
So I'm going completely left field here because, I don't know, well, I want to have fun here. It's not quite as wild as, say, time travel.
That's okay. She didn't justify it. Go on.
What? I justified it. It makes thematic sense.
Only thematically, Pep. Only thematically.
Only thematically.
This is Shakespeare. Theme is half the point.
Oh, wait. Is that the case? Then your professor was right.
Oh. What? No, he wasn't, because he couldn't back it the fuck up.
Sorry, wow. Brendan. You were saying?
I hit a nerve, and I apologize.
I don't think it was you. I think it was me.
Like, as I said earlier, one of the things I tried working with was kind of trying to do a modern adaptation of it because, I don't know, I wanted to have some fun with the story. But the thing is, you know, the path that, you know, was the easy path that I was stuck on initially was like, oh, it's going to be a big business allegory. And yeah, that's like, it's almost too easy, too boring. Because, yeah, ambition and business, that makes sense. but it doesn't really make necessarily for a compelling story.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I kind of like agonized over this again, you know, over the dinner table.
Yeah.
The idea that, you know, I guess the thought that came to mind was it's modern day and it's a adaptation where it's a production of Macbeth. We're going full Spider-Man Enter the Dark where, you know, you have like maybe, you know, the person who is the Macbeth character, the equivalent, I guess, is an understudy of the lead of Macbeth.
Oh, you're going meta.
Yes. And going full dark comedy. We're talking production assistant girlfriend or something like that, suggesting, you know, maybe after some accident happens that gets rid of the McDonald equivalent, McDonald equivalent. Hey, we can get you the lead, you know, and then go from there. That was the thought there. So a meta Macbeth.
What's that, Pip, you might know this one. What's the name of that play that has, there's two plays going on simultaneously? There's the one on one side of the set, and then there's the other side, and like Christopher Reeve is in it.
Kiss Me Kate?
No, not Kiss Me Kate. Although that's a similar idea.
Noises Off?
Yes.
Here's the thing. I watched that recently.
Oh.
Oh.
Not the movie, one of the local theater groups.
Okay, so for those guys who may not know it, Noises Off is this fabulous play where it's about a theater company putting on a play. And you see, I don't know if you see the actual play being put on.
Yes and no.
Yeah. But part of the actual set is the behind the set. And you see the interactions of the actors as they're busy, you know, yelling at each other and having their own situation while playing other characters. It's very Inside Out meta type thing. And that would be a hilarious thing to mix with Macbeth. Like that is,
yeah.
And particularly when you start bringing in the Shakespeare, the bad luck lore about.
Yes. Kind of the idea is like, you know, cause you have
Macbeth. The Scottish being, play.
Yeah. The Scottish play being, you know, historically, unlucky.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
The thing is, that's how they're kind of disguising the murders that happen is all under the cursed play.
So far, I mean, I love you very much, Brennan. I'm sorry, Pip and Al.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, Bren, yours is the one that I would actually love to watch. I would watch a movie of that. I would watch a play. I'm honestly surprised no one's done it to the point where I'm like, should we wiki this and see if it's like, should we Google this and see if it's already been done? Because.
Well, probably like some small scale production, I'm sure. Maybe. Mm-hmm.
Possibly.
Well, I am looking it up because it does sound kind of familiar.
Uh oh. Simultaneous creation. Great minds think alike.
Well, here's the thing. I'm having trouble finding it right now because I want to.
Of course.
And so the moment I'm actually looking for it has mm-hmm. disappeared from me.
To be completely fair, though, there have been sort of meta productions of Shakespeare, like Hamlet 2 or something like that. Wasn't that one of them? Where like suddenly there's Jesus and vampires or something?
Rock Me Sexy Jesus. The only thing I know from that movie.
Here's the thing. The nice thing about Shakespeare is that you could do pretty much anything with him.
Coffee shop AU.
Coffee shop. AU stands for alternate universe. So coffee shop, alternate universe.
For every single play, I want them.
Yeah, of course. There's a modern Macbeth set in a fast food joint in like Pennsylvania. And it's great.
Hmm.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. It's like set in the 70s too. It's fantastic. Anything you can do with Shakespeare, because it's so universal and also because he's just dripping themes everywhere.
Like time travel.
Yes. Just like time travel. That's exactly what I was thinking of. It's difficult to say, oh, this would be a great, better way to do this, or even just a great, different way to do this, because, yeah, basically anything you do with Shakespeare is going to be pretty damn good.
Oh, Shakespeare, we can steal from you forever. Yay.
That's true. He's also out of copyright. What?
Yeah. Actually, something that you kind of were mentioning before, how, like, you know, You're kind of mentioning things that you find interesting. I do find Pip's idea at its core to be pretty interesting if you were like.
Thank you.
If you were to try and play with the nature of like maybe determinism versus free will, that kind of stuff. Cause again, I'm just kind of stuck on that notion of how would I handle it if I found out future me was a homicidal dick? I don't think I'd handle it well.
Wasn't that the plot of Looper?
Kinda. Well, no, it's serious. Like maybe you find out future you is a total evil, you know, evil dick, and you try and do everything you can to avoid it, and maybe like the first death was an accident, and then like you're thinking you're on this path that you can't really steer away from, and then the insanity ends up being like a self feedback loop or something like that, and you can't avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's an interesting thought. I think you'd have to hash out how the time travel mechanism works.
Yeah. Well, you know, that might actually, both what you're saying and Pip's idea might feed well into, da-da-da, my idea.
What?
All right, guys, so check it out. I have been foreshadowing this idea this entire podcast.
Dun, dun, dun. Like you're a professional or something.
I'm sorry, what? Yeah, almost like that. No, hey, so what's the one thing I've been bitching about, like, this entire time?
Hectate dancing?
Yep!
Oh, no.
Alright, so...
Macbeth, okay, so make the entire play the hectic dance.
Macbeth the Bollywood film.
Oh, God. That would be awesome.
Of glee.
Macbeth, oh, my God.
Macbeth at the club.
Okay, so check it out. She gets mentioned all of, like, once to show up.
One scene.
One scene for, like, two lines.
Quick cameo.
Yeah. Where she's just like, by the way, everybody, dance! And, you know, as one does. Here we go. She says, she literally shows up and she's like, and now about the cauldron sing, live elves and fairies in a ring, enchanting all that you put in. Music and a song. Black spirits, etc. Hecate retires.
So- I like the etc.
Hecate retires and moves to a nice little townhouse in Florida.
Yeah, something like that. So here's the thing, though. I was like, why, you know, if she's in there, let's do, like, a little thing, you know. What if this character was more important to the story? Just, you know, otherwise not in here. Start not appearing in this film. And so I did a little bit of research into Hecate. And guys, let me tell you, this is fucking amazing. You can get all sorts of crazy stuff going on with her. Okay, so she was a triplicate goddess in many tellings. Three witches, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, and, you know, we happen to know that she's already... We kind of infer that she's a goddess of witchcraft and magic and all that. But did you also know that she was a... frequently considered to be a goddess of...
Boogie.
She would be, she would give wealth. She was considered a household deity. She would sit by kings and help with, give judgment. She would, help with victory and, granting glory in battle. She was a nurse to the young. Her symbols included paired torches, dogs, keys, and daggers. What? And very fascinatingly, in Byzantium, she was the deity of protection. When Philip of Macedon was about to attack, she alerted the townspeople with her torches and packs of dogs. She had, like, the spectral dog thing going on. Super cool.
Aw, puppies.
I know! So good. Alright, so here's my thing. I think it'd be super, super cool to revamp the play so Hecate is, like, a main character. In the way that, like, a city is a main character in some books, you know, like, the setting is character... She's like, I want her to be like the overall flavor in this broth. Let's say that she's the household god of the Macbeths, passed to them from like some Roman forebear. Both the lord and the lady pray to her, him for valor in battle, and her for pregnancy. So she starts to play as like a positive goddess, a positive patron. But as the story progresses, her more dark and like violent interpretations... sort of come to the fore. And then the question then becomes, like, how much are the actions of the Macbeths from Hecate, and how much is them using her as an excuse?
Mm.
And so, like, I don't know, maybe, like, instead of three witches, it's just straight up Hecate, because she's the triplicate goddess. You know, change up her speech a little bit so she's not quite like, and then I'm gonna drown some sailors. But keep the prophecy.
She can appear as all three.
Exactly. And then the whole story becomes like this exercise in finding the meanings you want to find rather than what's there. It's not the goddess's fault if you're a bad person.
Yeah. And also, not to bring my thing back, with that goddess there, you can kind of have a few less soliloquies, as he can be kind of be having that whole entire, should I do this thing with her, instead of just himself.
Exactly. Well,
and possibly three of her.
Well, and the reason I bring up, you know, Lady Macbeth wanting to, is working towards a pregnancy is that brings up the whole, I think it adds a certain, Susan to the whole, you know, unsex me now. She's not, you know, she's turning from her original prayers to Hecate to this other purpose, which is sort of utilizing one of Hecate's other properties. And is it because Hecate told her to? Is it because, or is it because she's forcing the issue? This is her choosing to utilize some other thing. It's the darker shit. And so it's like this degradation. And it'd be really, really cool if we had other characters who were also like, oh yeah, no, Hecate's cool. Like Macduff, for instance. I am not of woman born. This goddess also, blah, 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 is for pregnancy. And of course, liminal states and stuff like that. And Macduff is in a liminal state in that he was from his womb, mother's womb, untimely ripped. So I think it'd be a really neat way to bring something hopefully new to the work, or at least a different flavor to it. If I was going to write it as a book, I wouldn't do it as a movie. If I was going to write it as a book, but I have it as like, from her point of view, what I have.
Hecate's tale.
Yeah. I don't know.
You know, I think, you know, having very little to do with that, I'm sorry.
Wow.
I know.
Fuck you.
Fuck you too. It'd be interesting to do a modern retelling of Macbeth, you know, like the cool kids do.
Mm-hmm.
But explore mental illness and gender. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily how they each intersect each other, though that's a fun thing to explore. But, you know, trans rights have become more of a thing in the forefront. And the whole thing of unsex me now, not of woman born, that can have some commentary. And also, you know, Macbeth's descent into madness, and Lady Macbeth as well, is just begging to have someone bring them aside and go, hey, you seem to be going through a mental crisis right now. Do you want to talk about it?
Well, I guess it started when I murdered a dude. Okay, let's not put a pin on that.
Hold on, I'm just dialing something on my phone here.
So, hey, do we have a game to play?
Well, let's go around the room, as it were, and think on whose story we'd want to roll with.
Well, we only have two, kind of.
No, we have two and a couple of themes.
Mm-hmm. You guys are doing, and include time travel.
A couple of themes, and just get rid of soliloquies. Not all of them.
Keep the good ones.
Yeah.
I will point out that if you take out all the stupid dudes, then that cuts out like a ton of the soliloquies.
Well, if you take out Macbeth, you take out 90% of them. So, you know.
Well, if we took out Macbeth and Lady Macbeth, she would have found something to do.
She probably would have known. Would she have killed old Duncan anyways?
No, she wouldn't have known the prophecy.
Oh, yeah.
Unless she was going to regardless.
That could be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Well, that can play into Pip's time travel thing where maybe Macbeth doesn't kill Duncan, because he kind of sees that happen. It's like, whoa, shit, that's a timeline I don't want to be a part of. Holy shit.
Hey, guys, wouldn't it be funny if it was like a comedy where the witches keep trying to give the prophecy and they keep missing? So they like show up in the castle and keep like trying to give the prophecy to someone to make this. But somehow the murder and all that still happens anyway.
Aw. What the hell's going on?
And so you have the witches being, like, super fucking confused the entire time.
Wait, so you mean that happened all by accident? And life imitating art, I suppose?
Aww.
Oh, see, that would be funny to mix up with Brendan's thing. With
dark comedy?
Yeah, but, like, what if the witches were meta? Like, what if they were, like, okay, let's bring in sort of Pip's idea, sort of. What if the witches in Brendan's play were legit witches? And so they were legitimately trying to give this prophecy. Understudy. Not just to, yeah, not just to Macbeth in the play, but to Macbeth the understudy. And they keep, like, missing it. Huh. Or something, like, to make them, like, instead of the porter being the clown, make the witches the clown.
Mm. And then cut out the porter.
Cut out the fucking porter.
Because nobody likes the porter.
Yes. Ugh. Okay, to be fair, he tells a good joke. But a joke does not a scene make.
No.
Unless it's a really, really good joke.
True. Like, the gravediggers in Hamlet were great.
Yeah. Hmm. Terry Pratchett kind of made the joke, kind of actually made the joke funny, so, you know.
Who was the porter in?
Just the porter. And but the clown was the, but the fool, oh, was
but
there
the fool was the actual clown. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And there's a knocking without, and, and in that book, he replied, without what?
Without what?
Just aww. Without. Is this some sort of Zen thing?
Oh, Terry Pratchett, we miss you.
Yeah.
Oh.
What book should, of his should we put on the list?
Oh, who knows?
We'll find something.
We'll find something.
And be reverent.
Exactly. But yeah. Also change it completely, obviously.
I think now's as good a time as any for that, maybe like a game to play. Who wants to play a game?
Meta characters. What's the name of that game? It's the name game.
The character that would be king? Mexicanary?
No.
That's a secondary one. Special appearance by.
Special appearance by. What happens if a meta character appears in the story and how would they react? Can I put forward my favorite meta character to throw in here? It's actually a pair, Mulder and Scully.
So Mulder and Scully,
So Mulder and Scully, I always like putting them in anything that has supernatural shit going on. Witches appear. What would Mulder do in that situation? What would Scully do in that situation? And of course, they're detectives, nominally. So
oh, that's forgiving of them.
And so murders just start going down. And they're like, you know, Scully's like, clearly this is a, regicide, you know.
A psychotic break.
Psychotic break. Mulder's like, there were witches!
Not Scully. Every woman with dirty hair and raggedy skirt is a witch. We've been over this.
But we have to investigate it, Scully. Come on.
Scully, maybe you've heard of the Greek goddess Hecate, or Hecate, as it's referred to. Her followers are...
This goes on a long soliloquy about it.
Meanwhile, Scully's tapping on her phone. It's awesome.
Scully's trying to do science.
She does an autopsy on Duncan.
No, oh my god, because remember, there's a fake murder scene set up. So goes and she starts, you know, like, talking to the, not guards, the dudes with the horses.
The grooms.
The grooms, yes. Groomsmen. The grooms who had all the blood smeared on them by Lady Macbeth. So, you know, like, Lady Macbeth, she's got some blood under her nails. Clearly, like, why the hell would they have blood on their faces if they were killing a dude? What? Makes no sense. Scully's like, this doesn't, you know, the blood patterns don't match at all.
Remember, Macbeth have killed the porters. Killed the grooms as well.
Did he?
Yeah, like that night, yeah.
Yeah, what? No.
Because
no.
He was enraged.
Yeah, like,
Oh, shit, I missed that.
Yeah, after Macbeth, like, discovers the king murdered, or he and whatever, some dude, would go to check it out, and Macbeth, in a rage, kills them on the spot before they could, you know, confess as their crime or something.
The terrible thing is it would have been pretty airtight if they just stuck with that. Honestly, that's pretty good.
Well, I don't know. I think this isn't my suggestion for the character to add, but just, like, if Holmes showed up, you know, that would be solved that night.
Yeah, but I like the idea of Scully, like, you know, taking apart the scene and stuff like that. And meanwhile, Mulder's off, you know, fucked off to a corner, trying to build an altar.
Oh, Mulder, don't do that.
To see whether or not he can draw witches.
He gets drugged by witches.
Oh my god, yes. And then he has his own little, like, and then he starts talking
prophecy.
Yes, and it's a prophecy, and it's related to the meta plot from X-Files. So it's like, I see my sister.
Scully very nicely doesn't roll her eyes.
Oh, so that's my that's who I would add. That's my fun time. All right, hey Pip, guess what? Hot seat.
Well, you were thinking, what happens if Mulder and Scully go and do the hang out in the paranormal thing. And I'm thinking, you know who else is a duo who handles weird mystical shit? Sam and Dean from Supernatural.
Oh, Pip.
Listen, it was the first thing I could think of.
Okay, all right, so what would go down?
Well, I'm not sure how much they can help. Because really, the witches sort of show up and disappear. So maybe they can keep the witches from fucking shit up in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, they get to comfort whoever the fuck is left afterwards.
Oh my
God. Anquo's son.
So, that might be a time travel thing right there. That's your time travel.
Woo!
Modern assholes showing up in their car and people mistake it for, I don't know, Hecate.
Yeah.
And then they're stuck being all like, what the hell's going on? Well, obviously the witches have something to do with this. And everyone's like, what? Witches? We're pretty sure it's regicide.
No, Brent mentioned Banquo's son. And they totally come in from the Banquo's son angle because they have weird issues around children. It's almost like they didn't have a childhood or something.
Oh, God.
You know, they can't save Banquo. They can't really stop the tragedy in motion.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, maybe they can, you know, stop the witches from fucking other people's lives up.
So they have their own side adventure, basically.
Yeah.
The plot is happening right here, and they're hunting witches. Maybe with, like, a final showdown with Hecate, who is also their car.
Oh, don't pit them against the car. The car's the best character.
All right, so far we have me who's taking a having fun with the mystery aspect, you know, and also the magic. We have Pip who is just completely throwing the main plot aside in favor of going after the witches. Al, which meta character would you throw in?
I've been sitting here for a few minutes trying to figure that out, and I've got nothing.
Okay. I'll put in a silly one because
of course
I know
these silly. Are all silly. Let's face
okay.
it.
Okay. Oh no, we haven't gotten peak silly yet because let's go with Bill and Ted.
Yes.
How's it going, Lord Lady?
And they introduce rock and roll
because you know. Okay, history final. That was you know that thing they had to worry about. Now they gotta pass English.
Oh! Yeah. Oh my God. Guys.
And just imagine, instead of having witches, they're learning about, you know, oh, hey, Macbeth, you're like this totally evil dude. It could be amazing.
What if they learn about moral relativism?
Oh.
Heavy, man.
So, let's say there are no witches at all. What if they're the witches?
Incompetent witches.
Like, they've shown up because they think that that Macbeth is an actual history play. So they think that's what's actually going to happen. So that's what they tell Macbeth.
And then suddenly the music showing up makes sense.
Dude, you're Fane of Cawdor, man. No. Oh, hail him. He's King of Scotland.
Pretty sure he's King of Scotland, man. But what about this other dude? I don't know.
I'm pretty certain and his kid's going to be a king.
What? And then, like, they're off bitching on the side. And then, meanwhile, there's Macbeth and Banquo being like, what dread fell is this? You blackened midnight hags. Because, of
then,
course.
But then, here's the thing. Yep. Lady Macbeth, she grabs a copy of the play.
Well, yes. Then she knows she dies in the end.
Well.
Yeah, but that's what drives her
maybe
mad.
Maybe it's like the. Well, maybe knowing Bill and Ted, they probably, like, you know, dropped it in some mud or something like that.
Oh my
so
God.
That part's all blurred out.
Guys, what if it's one of those modern interpretation Shakespeare's? So it's all written in, like, modern language, so it's going to be written in their bullshit English, which is very which is close to incomprehensible to Lady Macbeth. So she's making a good faith guess about what's going on here.
out your damn spot? What? Yeah.
Then Lady Macbeth goes totally nuts. What? Well, I do like walnuts. And lo, there shall be almonds in all the cakes!
Oh, Lord.
But no, oh my God. Okay, so that actually is a really fascinating combination of Bren, yours, the meta story, and Pip, yours, time travel. And Alex,
and once
it
again,
would also
I win.
Alex, they would also get rid of a whole bunch of soliloquies.
But just imagine Keanu Reeves.
Oh, my God. That's why he's a Black at Midnight hat, because his hair's too fucking long.
Oh. Well,
that being said, I would actually love to see Macbeth, Keanu Reeves play Macbeth 3. I think it'd be interesting.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, modern Keanu, yeah.
Yeah. But this is why this is important. This is why it's important to play this kind of game. Because you find the interesting corners of your plot. You find the interesting or the not so interesting. You find out what's really worth keeping or maybe what you actually want to do. Throw in some meta characters and see what they would do to your story. If they would instantly solve your story, maybe you have a problem.
Or maybe that doesn't work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or maybe it's just an indication of, like, you know, that's why Macbeth couldn't be modern day, because folks from CSI would have put that right in the bin. You know, it's an important tool, and it's a fun tool, and you can really start building off of, you know, you start getting all the ideas that you've had, put them in the cauldron, see what pops out. So, Al, what's your meta character? On the spot. Well, it's not on the spot anymore. You've had, like, God, 5 minutes now.
Yeah, I'm going to go with B99.
Like the whole group from B99? Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
The cast of Brooklyn Nine-Nine appears. Holy shit.
Oh, man. Rosa's going to be so pissed at how badly Lady Macbeth faked this crime scene.
Well, here's the thing. Actually, the second you said Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I imagined modern telling.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I still think Rosa will be pissed about how Lady Macbeth fucked up faking the crime scene. Like, that's not even how knives work.
What if Rosa turned out to, like, instead of Lady Macbeth killing anybody or anything like that, it was just Rosa?
Rosa wouldn't kill anybody. Yeah. She'd just think it real hard.
What if she was the one who faked the scene? I don't know. Like, people doing things that are not exactly good because they're more competent at it is maybe one of my things. I like morally gray characters and competence porn. I like both. You mix the two together, magic happens.
Yeah. Yeah, you can have the internet's favorite line. Cool story. Cool motive. Still murder.
Still murder.
Yep. Oh, that's a classic.
Yeah.
It works for so many situations.
It's a very important part of, like, everything.
Yeah.
So, that's the thing. I'm kind of behind on my Brooklyn Nine-Nine, watching. Can you tell me, like, what they'd be doing there?
Solving crime.
Well, yes, I gather not much, but, like, is it just, like a case of the week kind of thing?
Maybe a two-parter.
Okay. You know what, though? Wait, what if we actually did a fusion?
Make it a season arc?
Exactly. Season arc. Lady Macbeth could be, what's her head? Munch.
Yeah.
Or Wunch. I really can't tell which. Wunch. Is it Wunch? All right.
It's Wunch. Okay.
What if almost make a more, I don't want to say G-rated Macbeth, but PG, you know, Macbeth for syndicated television. And what if it's like, you know, people in the precinct there, like, you know, putting laxatives or something like that in the, you know, people's foods or something like that in order to, you know, have some sort of setup happen for the end of the episode, you know, like whoever's highest rank there at the end of the day gets a pizza. I don't know.
It's a tradition with the Halloween episodes. They have, like, some crown that they're always, oh my God, they have a crown. They have a crown that they always try to steal from one another. Holy shit, this writes itself. That they steal from one another to say who is the best detective ever. Lol, lol, lol.
Detective / genius.
I'm sorry.
That's, get it right.
All right, my bad. So yeah, I mean, that's like pre-made right there.
Huh.
Make it a two-parter.
So my ignorance of the series helped out.
Yes. There you go. And for listeners at home, I would seriously suggest watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine. That's some quality. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
We're not the only ones playing this game. You can as well.
That sounded really smarmy.
Yes, I was being smarmy on purpose.
Well, that's the thing. Like, yeah, with the, you know, what was the name of the game there, Kat?
Special Appearance by.
If anybody listening at home there has a suggestion for a special appearance in Macbeth, feel free to tweet at us. I mean, I'd be kind of curious to see what people come up with, and maybe we'll have a mailbag episode and read aloud people's ideas for that.
Love it. Yeah, no, definitely. if it's not completely clear by now, we desperately would like to have audience participation here. Feedback, commentary, bring in your own special appearance by, tell us which plot you liked best. Hell, I don't care. Except we do care a lot.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, fragile egos.
Oh, hugely. We're tender artists.
Look, yeah. I cry into my avocado toast every night.
But yeah. So, you know what? Like, at the end of the day, if you have a terrible time coming up with a plot, steal one of Shakespeare's. He stole all of his.
Oh, yeah.
Like, fuck it. Turnabout is fair play. Isn't that a Shakespeare line? Sounds like it. Let's go. Like, you know, that's the thing about Shakespeare. That's why it's worth listening to him. It's why it's worth doing the research. It's why it's worth watching the plays and looking at all the weirdo variants, is because it is an endless mine of tropes, plots, characters that you can use any damn way you please. It's fantastic.
That was our take on Shakespeare's Macbeth. As always, if you have a story to submit, head on over to nostoriesacred.com/submission. Follow us on Twitter at nostoriesacred, or send an email through contact@nostoriesacred.com. Your hosts have been Alexander MacDonald, Peregrine MacDonald, Brendan MacDonald, and Catherine Crichton. Editing for this episode done by Brendan. Transcript by done by Ashley DaCosta. Cover art was done by Jay Wolf. Show notes and transcript are available at nostoriesacred.com. Thanks for listening, everyone. See you next time when, in honor of George Romero, we take in part and talk about Night of the Living Dead. Until then, no story is sacred, and any story can be changed.
This was Brendan.
This was Kat.
This was Pippin.
And this was Alex.
And we're No Story is Sacred.